This is episode 1634. Welcome to the Daily Meditation Podcast. In today's episode, I have a special treat for you. It is an interview with an author who wrote a book on the art of forest bathing. And you will learn all about that in the interview. Throughout the week, this week, you will be guided using meditation techniques to help connect you to nature. We'll be offering full half-hour nature guided meditations every single day, a brand new one, on the Sip and Own meditation app that you can try absolutely free for 2 weeks. Absolutely free access for 2 weeks to the full app. And the series will come with a nature journal as well as a nature slowdown guide. Again, it's the Sip and Own meditation app. Without further ado, here's introducing you to Melanie Chokas Bradley and the art of forest bathing.
Welcome to your daily guided meditation. I'm Mary Meckley, and I'm honored you're here. Today we have a very special guest who I think you're going to enjoy, especially if you enjoy the guided walking meditations that we do every Saturday as a way to celebrate the end of a meditation series. And the guest that we have is Melanie Chokas Bradley. Melanie has written a book I'm sure you will want to get, especially if you enjoy the walking meditations. And the book is called The Joy of Forest Bathing. And in this book, she guides you through the ins and outs of creating a forest bathing ritual for yourself. If you're not familiar with this term, forest bathing, she will be explaining it to you in the podcast. But a little bit about Melanie. She's an award-winning nature book author and certified nature and forest therapy guide with the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy Guides and Programs. Melanie leads forest bathing walks and tree tours for the Audubon Naturalist Society, the United States Botanic Garden, Smithsonian Associates, the Rock Creek Conservancy, the Nature Conservancy, Casey Trees, Politics and Prose, the Aspen Institute, and other organizations. So you can see you are in good hands with Melanie. She's also the author of a few other award-winning books, the award-winning book, A Year in Rock Creek Park, The Wild Wooded Heart of Washington, D.C., and City of Trees. Melanie has traveled throughout Japan, and she has done this participating in forest bathing walks led by Shinrin Yoku guides, which she will also be talking about. So with that, Melanie, hello and welcome.
Hello, Mary. I'm delighted to be here with you today.
We are thrilled to have you. So I wanted to ask you about forest bathing. Many of the listeners are familiar with forest bathing, but for those who are not, could you describe what forest bathing is?
I would be happy to, Mary. Well, forest bathing is something that started in Japan in the 1980s. They call it Shinrin Yoku, which I understand pretty much means forest bath or forest bathe. And all it is really is going out in nature, breathing deeply, breathing in all the good air that surrounds the trees and other plants, and tuning in to the beauty and wonder with all your senses. It's very simple. The Forest Agency of Japan started it in the 1980s, but it's really rooted in the ancient Japanese reverence for nature that's woven into the Shinto and Buddhist traditions. And I don't know that the Shinrin Yoku guides in Japan who started this practice could have imagined how much it would resonate with people all around the world. So this is a practice now that people are participating in all over the world.
Yes, I participated in myself, Shinrin Yoku, But when I lived in Japan for 5 years, I didn't realize that I was doing Shin-Rin-Yoku. But it is very popular in Japan for people to go hiking all over the forest. And I lived in Tokyo, which is similar to Washington, D.C., where I know you live, a very busy, hectic city.
Yes,
and
indeed.
There are not a lot of green spaces, so people go in the surrounding mountains. And I remember one time being lost, and I had the book. There was a very popular guide. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a guide that everybody followed as they were walking through all these different trails around Tokyo. And I was lost. And I remember being in this field out in the middle of the mountains. And all of a sudden, this couple comes walking. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, look, there's a couple. And, you know, I'm not lost. They saved me. And they were carrying the same book I was carrying.
Wow.
And they
That's
were doing
amazing.
The same hike, and they were lost. So this particular hike got us all lost, but together we were able to find our way out. So yeah, that's just a side note. I'm glad that now there are more structured and well-plotted out paths for people who are hiking.
Yes.
So I'm sure that's a big benefit. So I heard you on an interview, and you talked about the importance of forest bathing involving three vital practices of unplugging, slowing down, and breathing deeply. So this sounds a little bit like meditation. And would you compare forest bathing to meditation? And could you kind of go into unplugging, slowing down, and breathing deeply, and the importance of that?
Sure thing. Yes, forest bathing and meditation are very closely aligned, and also other mindfulness practices, yoga, tai chi. In Japan, on forest bathing walks, and they do have now they have over 60 places that are certified for forest bathing in Japan with very good trails.
Yes.
So you don't have to get lost. But I have to say, some of my favorite times have been when I've been lost in the woods. Being lost is not always a bad thing. So there are certain steps that you go through on a forest bathing walk. And you mentioned unplugging. That is the first thing. It is very therapeutic for us to unplug our phones and to just get offline, because I think we're all so inundated with emails and text messages and headlines that come across our phones. So just that act in and of itself is very therapeutic. And then I always like to think, when I start a forest bathing walk, I always like to think of a wonderful quote from John Muir, who wrote, "Another glorious day. The air as delicious to the lungs as nectar to the tongue." And when you go outside, and you don't have to be deep in the forest, you can do this in your own backyard, you can do it in a park down the street. I really encourage people who live in cities to weave forest bathing, the forest bathing practice, into their daily lives, even if they just have a few minutes. But when you start breathing the air, when you're under the trees, you're near the plants, you're breathing in the oxygen produced by the plants, and also volatile chemicals called phytoncides, which the plants produce to protect themselves from pathogens. And when we breathe them in, there's research showing that that is very good for us, and it gives our own immune system a real boost. And so then you breathe deeply, you slow down, and then you tune in to the natural sounds and sights and smells around you. And it's amazing how, when you slow down, whether you're walking slowly, and I know you do walking meditations, or sitting in a natural area, it's a very transformative experience. Your senses just fill up with the sounds of the birds, the breeze, the wonderful smells coming up from the earth. It's autumn now in the part of the world where I live, in Washington, D.C., so when I go out in the woods, I have you know, all these wonderful smells coming up from the earth, from the leaves that have landed on the ground. And, you know, you just soak it all up, and it's amazing how calming it is and how rejuvenating. And you can, a forest bathing walk can last, you know, when I lead guided walks, they usually last for 2 or 3 hours, but you can forest bathe even if you have 20 minutes, a 20-minute break from work. If you can step outside your office and just find a quiet place, preferably around some trees or other plants, flowing water, if you have the luxury of being near flowing water, and just allow yourself to sit quietly or walk slowly. And it's amazing how restorative that experience can be.
Yes, it is. So what about people who don't have a green space to go to?
Yes, that is a very good question. You do want to find something natural. I mean, maybe if your setting is very, very urban with a lot of hard surfaces around you, you still have the sky above you and you can look up to the clouds. You can watch the birds flying overhead. Find whatever natural beauty you can. And I forest bathe, you know, when I step outside my house, if I'm taking out the trash, I will, you know, look to the trees. I will listen for the birds. I will look up to the sky and just tune in, even if I have 5 minutes to go visit the trash can. So you don't need a deep forest. You don't need a lot of greenery. You do need to have some kind of contact with natural elements to forest bathe. There's no question about it. But you know that even looking out your window is therapeutic. And there have been a lot of studies done on the benefits of spending time in nature and forest bathing. And some of the studies have shown that people who are recovering from illness and surgery in hospitals, even if they have a window where they can look out and see some trees, their recovery is speeded up. They recover more quickly if they can just see trees outside their windows. If you can't get close to nature outdoors, having plants inside your house is good, both, you know, for your physical health and your mental and spiritual well-being. So just find it wherever you can and enjoy it. And it's a practice like anything else, like meditation or yoga or Tai Chi. The more that you practice, the easier it is to get into that calming groove and to really feel the joy and the benefits of the practice.
It's so true. And I like what you shared about doing your own forest bathing outside of a forest where you can still have that element of nature near you, even if you are at your desk or
yes,
a little in your meditation space. When you're visualizing nature and that connection with nature, you can still receive benefits. And I think that sometimes people feel like, well, I have to go to so much trouble to figure out where I should go, or, you know, the weather might not be great
yes,
on the day you've chosen. And so then they just let it go. But if you could say, such as you recommended, okay, it's raining, or I can't get to this one place, or maybe for myself, I know when I was in Japan, I felt very comfortable walking alone on hikes mm-hmm, by myself, but I don't really feel comfortable doing that here in the United States where I live all the time. And so I feel like, oh, I need to find somebody to come with me. So that's so much trouble. But if I could just walk around my neighborhood and notice the trees and become attuned to nature, or sit at my desk and have a vase with a leaf or a flower, whatever's in bloom, and even a rock that I might have picked up on my walk. So we can do this. Like you said, it is that consistency and making it happen however it works for you.
Yes. And I love the concept too of finding a wild home. And your wild home can be your backyard or a, you know, a nearby park, or like you said, your neighborhood, the trees in your neighborhood, if you have a walk that you do routinely. And I think if you can really get to know this wild home in all different types of weather, through all different seasons, it's a form of intimacy. And, you know, you form a relationship with the place, and that can be as rewarding a relationship as your relationships with other people that you love. And I think we've kind of lost the habit of connecting with nature. And once you start doing it, once you just become aware, when you walk out your front door in the morning, you become aware of the trees around you, you become aware of the sky, you become aware of the weather. It really is an incredibly enriching aspect of life.
It's true. And it makes me laugh a little bit, because when I think about what you just said, like, you know, you're saying, well, this is natural. We're connected, yes, to the natural world.
We're natural beings.
We are. And in agrarian societies, it wasn't that long ago. You know, technology is speeding us up so quickly, but really it wasn't. My grandparents were, you know, lived rurally, had a farm. So they would naturally do this, you know, this concept.
Of course, yes.
They were doing a thing. Oh, that's a thing. Or even meditation, where people were more centered or more living more in the present moment because they were really forced to. So
yes.
They didn't realize, oh, that's a thing. Now we're realizing that this integral part of us, because of the way our lifestyle's going and the technology and all these other great things, we can become a little unbalanced, and we need to unplug, slow down, and breathe deeply, like you said, like you recommend. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the concept of earthing or grounding, going barefoot, connecting to the ground. I know people, I've worked a lot with flight crews who are in the air all the time in different time zones on a regular basis.
And
one of the first things that many of them do, whether it's on concrete in a city or not, is they go barefooted around their area, wherever they are. They try to find a green patch to feel grounded.
That's so great.
What do you recommend regarding that? Or do you, or how is it different from Shinrin Roku or forest bathing?
Oh, it's very connected. And there's a lot of exciting research about benefits of going barefoot. I often incorporate barefoot times in my forest bathing walks. I take off my shoes whenever I can, and walk on the, you know, the dirt, the rocks, the grass, wherever I'm walking, wade in the water if I can. And you know, I'm a person who does things intuitively. But there is something about knowing that there's health data showing the health of something to help you prioritize it. So I have to confess that since I've been reading about these studies about earthing, or, you know, going barefoot, there's something about the electromagnetic charge of the earth that you're connecting with. I have been going barefoot even more often about this.
You're
this
right.
Research.
Yeah. Now we need
science. Have you found that too?
Yeah, we need science to tell us what we already knew intuitively sometimes.
Exactly. But another thing connected to that is, you know, there've been a lot of studies about how your physical health is improved by forest bathing or spending time in. You know, your blood pressure goes down, the levels of cortisol in your body, which is a hormone that can indicate stress, those down, your heart rate variability increases. There's a lot of research showing the health benefits of spending time in nature. Definitive, there studies have been done that, you know, the Japanese researchers, Dr. Lee and Dr. Miyazaki in Japan, really got this research off the ground about 15 years ago, but there are now researchers all over the world studying these benefits. And one of the mental health benefits, there was a study done at Stanford of this, is about ruminative thinking. Ruminative thinking is it's a negative thought pattern where you just keep turning something over in your mind, like bothering you. You just keep running it through your mind again and again, and you don't really get anywhere with it. It's really not a healthy thing for us. And I find that if I have a tendency to ruminate about something, if I go out in nature and just let go and tune into the beauty around me, I can let go of those negative ruminative thought patterns. And the study at Stanford showed they studied people who are walking in an urban environment and people who are walking in a natural environment. And the people walking in the natural environment got, you know, measured relief from ruminative thinking. So that's something that I know I really cherish, that ability to let go of those thoughts in my own life. And I think a lot of us, you know, and that kind of thinking can lead to anxiety and depression. So it's nice to have a way to, you know, to remedy that sort of thought pattern.
It's true. And even there's so much research showing that walking, wherever you are walking, helps to prevent depression and manage depression. Yes. So that even just the act of walking, and if you can walk, yes, amongst tall green trees that are releasing
phytoncides.
This helps you physically, spiritually, and mentally. And one thing you said a while back that I wanted to pick up on is finding a wild place of your own and getting to know this place intimately. And I think that sometimes we feel like we need more, that what we have around us isn't enough, or that we're not enough. We have to do all these things in order to feel connected or to feel better. And so, as you recommended, having a place near you, that maybe someplace you pass every day, someplace you are walking every day, even if you're walking to the train station, if you live in a city, or you're walking around your neighborhood, if you live in a suburb, getting to know that place intimately, seeing it through the seasons, and feeling as though almost it's an extension of who you are, because you also pass that way. It's not that this place is doing something for you. You're also doing something for it. You're becoming part of this place as well.
That is such an important point. I don't want to interrupt your thought process there, but I did have something I wanted to say about that. Is that okay?
Sure.
So it gives you a sense of belonging, and you do belong. I mean, the air that you breathe out from your lungs, the trees take that air in, and they need the carbon dioxide that you breathe out. They need that for photosynthesis. They need that for their lives. And then they breathe out oxygen that you breathe in. So you are, in a very real sense, connected with the living things around you. And I think we do, we all, you know, we've kind of lost our sense of belonging in nature because we feel so separate. And I think we also have a lot of guilt about what humanity has, you know, the impact that we've had on the earth. We carry a lot of guilt. And when you're out in nature, it's a very deeply healing thing to feel that you belong. So if you can find a wild home or, you know, wild place near you, and as you said, really get to know it, it is healing in a way.
Now, would you tell me I left off the full title of your book and where you mentioned that wild side.
Sure. So the full title of the book is The Joy of Forest Bathing: Reconnect with Wild Places and Rejuvenate Your Life. I am a North American author, but the artist who created beautiful, whimsical artwork for this book is Leek Vandervoorst. She's Dutch. And the book has been It's available pretty much around the world. It has been translated into both Spanish and Finnish. So it is available in Spain in Spanish and Finnish in Finland. It was published in August, and it's already in its third printing. So I think that the message of forest bathing is something that is really resonating with people. I think people are really hungry for that connection and find it rewarding to learn, you know, just to learn simple ways to connect with me.
Even looking at the beautiful artwork in the book can be healing if you can't get out to walk. So, well,
yes, I've had people tell me that they feel that reading the book is like going on a walk mainly because of her beautiful artwork, Leek's beautiful artwork.
Oh, yes. Well, again, I want to thank you, Melanie. And before we end, I want to share your information where people can find you. You are Melanie Chukas Bradley. It's M-E-L-A-N-I-E. C-H-O-U-K-A-S hyphen B-R-A-D-L-E-Y.com, Melanie Chukas Bradley. And you also find this on our social media sites. We're going to be exploring important principles in Melanie's book throughout this week as we meditate each day. So you'll get her every day this week. And Melanie, could you get us started on... Give us some prompts. Get us started on a walk, whether you're in your home and you might want to go outside right now and sit down and meditate, or you might be out walking. If you could get us started, that would be great. We'd be honored.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to. Well, if you're in your home, imagine a beautiful natural place that you love. It can be a lake or a stream, or forest with the sunlight coming through the canopy, a garden, a field. Just imagine a beautiful place and sit quietly and breathe deeply and let the beauty and wonder of that place just fill you. And spend a few quiet moments enjoying the beauty of this place and how you feel. If you'd like, you can close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, the sound of the breezes and the birds will come to you almost in a magical way. And you'll be able to smell the wonderful smells coming from the plants around you and up from the earth, from the water. And just feel the joy of the moment. And then if you have your eyes closed, when you open them, pretend that you're seeing the world for the very first time. There's a wonderful quote from John Muir, I quoted him about breathing, about the wonderful air and the way it feels in your lungs. And there's a quote I love to quote, close forest bathing walks with, from John Muir. "I only went out for a walk and then concluded to stay out till sundown. For going out, I found, was really going in."
That's beautiful. Thank you. This is a real treat. And if you haven't tried forest bathing again, you will find a way to forest bathe, whether you are outside in a beautiful natural setting or in your home, even looking at the beautiful artwork in Melanie's book, The Joy of Forest Bathing, Reconnect with Wild Places and Rejuvenate Your Life.